Welcome back to take three.
Take three.
Of Coffee and Christ. Everything seems to be working great now. I've had a rough day. Actually, my day was great. It was just been on the struggle bus.
A little technical difficulties, but that's okay. We're here.
But we're here this today. Sponsored by Sonic.
Yep. For the two times in a row, too.
Sonic and Christ.
Like, we were here last week, and now we're here this week. This is monumental for us.
It's awesome, actually.
We don't do this.
But we actually recorded like 3.5 minutes of a really funny bit.
Yep.
And you know what? You're only going to get a little snippet of it. Welcome to Sonic and Christ. Dylan doesn't like coffee. Jackson's going to bring his coffee machine to work, so that way my life's not a lie.
There you go.
And Jackson likes to drink the sugar from Dunkin' and their iced coffees and crunch it. That's it.
But
we did that for 3 minutes, and it was funny.
And Dylan but had his mic muted.
Don't get
any of it.
Anything.
It's just a memory. How nice. A little memory.
Okay. Tell us about your week, Jackson. What's been going on in your world?
Well, just because in true fashion, we are on a time crunch. My week's been great. A lot of waiting still. I'm excited that we got a lot of rain just recently. And next week, weather is dipping a little bit.
Can't wait.
Making it in a little.
I'm going to wear a sweater. I'm just kidding.
It's only going to be like 70 degrees. But still, that's fantastic compared to like being in the like high 90s and stuff. So looking forward to that. But what about you, Dylan? It's been a very, very eventful week for you.
Has it?
Yeah.
Really?
You got your truck? Oh, no, you got that Wednesday.
Yeah.
I thought you got that Thursday for some reason.
Life is good. I don't know what else to say, truthfully. It's been a busy week. A big thing happened to me. Take it how you will. Unless you judge me, and then don't, because the Bible says not to. But I got rid of my dog. He is gone. Teddy is no more. Rip to the duty bop.
You want
to
know what's funny?
What?
Is that they didn't even know you had a dog, because the last time we recorded was pre-Teddy.
Oh, wow.
And the last time that we were, just recently, last week, that was it. So they didn't even know you had a dog. Guys, whenever we were on a sabbatical, Dylan got a dog.
I got a dog.
And it's gone.
I don't know why.
It's gone now, though. Yeah, because we recorded before you left for your vacation, and you would have been doing fireworks like the weeks before that.
No dog
then. And now no dog now.
I'm also just distraught right now, because the order that I placed for all these shirts, they're supposed to be in tomorrow, and now they said they're going to be there at 6:24 p.m. Hope nobody steals them. I don't know what else to do.
At our store?
At the office, yeah. I scheduled it for delivery between 2 and 4 tomorrow. And then I just got a text that said, your driver is en route, will arrive at 210 Hub Circle by... sorry about that. By 6:24 p.m.
Don't go steal our shirts.
I'll just have to swing by on my way home. Anyway. I got rid of the dog. Just to be honest with you, I was immature. I shouldn't have got the dog. I kind of wanted him. Andrea really wanted him. So we got him.
That's okay.
When he was good, he was my dog. When he was bad, he was Andrea's dog. But life has been much more pleasant. My house, I don't have to have 17 wallflowers in my house anymore. I was afraid my house was going to smell bad. So if you walked into my house, Bath and Body Works smacked you in the face. Like, I'm surprised there wasn't a lady in an apron walking up being like, can I help you? Because it smelled like Bath and Body Works. Like it. So we don't have a dog.
It's you. You're the lady.
No more dog. And praise God for that. I would like another dog.
Eventually.
But I want a little dog. A little weenie.
Yeah. You're in a busy season of life, though.
You know? I want one like that's really lazy. Like, one that you have to force to go outside. Like, it's laying on the couch in true weenie fashion. And, like, its little legs are, like, dangling there. And you're like, oh, you haven't used the bathroom in 11 hours. You shouldn't. And then, like, you pick it up and it's like, Like, it doesn't want to go. That's what I need. Like a little ween. A
little weenie dog.
A little ween.
Long hair weenie dog.
Named Winston.
Aw.
But anyway, that'll be years from now.
Eh.
But.
We'll see.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean, that's about it. Life has been good.
Life's good.
Busy. And I got caught in the torrential downpour on the way here.
Yep.
But that's it. Witness part two.
Yes, witness part two. So real quick, as because this is kind of Dylan's time to shine.
I left my Bible in the truck.
As I have another
it's
one.
Okay.
If you want.
I'm partial to mine.
Okay. As Dylan's getting ready, just a real quick update of where we've been. Witness in the Bible, you know, it's pretty common in courtrooms, like for being a witness to like a crime of something. Well, it's the same thing. In the Bible, you witness something important or amazing, and then you share it. It's like the natural thing to do, and that's even called bearing witness. The Hebrew word is aid, and bearing witness, the Hebrew word is ood. And we kind of trace how this word really kind of works its way out, like throughout the entire Bible, in a lot of ways, and how like the ultimate need or maybe not even need, but purpose God has for us is to bear witness to Him, that we experience His love and His grace and His mercy, and the natural thing for us to do is go and tell everyone so they can also experience that. And so that's a large part. And then throughout the Bible, we traced how Moses was like a chief witness to help the people long to be these better witnesses. And then you go to Isaiah, you go to Ezekiel, you go to all these other prophets that's their I guess their role that God has for them is to help lead His people into being better witnesses. And then we get to the New Testament, where we're going to spend our time today, where we're going to be studying the Greek word for this word witness is martus. And Dylan, what's your thoughts on this Greek form of witness?
What was it again?
Martus.
What does it mean?
Oh,
like
bearing
in the Greek.
Oh, it's just bearing witness. It's the same. For us.
So what's my take on the Greek?
No, just what's your take on in general?
Oh, you said the Greek and it strikes me out.
Oh, sorry.
That's Jackson's thing.
Sorry.
I get very
No, I wasn't
stressed.
Meaning that. I just mean whenever we go to the New Testament.
I get very... I'm just not smart enough to comprehend all of that, to be honest. So it just...
You sell yourself
but anyway,
short.
I go to Matthew 8. And it's a very common story you probably heard. And...
Excuse me. Bless you.
And I'll paraphrase it, but starting in verse 1, it says, when he came down from the mountain, he being Jesus, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, let's talk a little bit about being a leper. And I guess the best thing that I could even relate it to, which it's not even, you know, relatable, but... I think the easiest way in our mind is to think back to, like, COVID. I remember this was a really sad time for me. Because I got COVID on a trip with Jackson. I had to drive home by myself. Lonely.
Very true.
Come home. All of my roommates had vacated the premises because they knew I was coming home with the Corona-19.
Infected.
I was the first one to get it. I thought I was going to die. I mean, that's before. That was, like, right when it was fresh. And, like, you heard all these people dying of it, and I was like, this is it.
Yeah,
I cried.
We were at a water park. They didn't even close that stuff. Yeah.
I cried all the way home. I was like, I'm dead. So, anyway, I go home to an empty house, and I'm just like, So, anyway, like, I was isolated.
Yeah.
And not because of what I had done, or there's nothing I could have done to avoid getting it. I mean, I guess if I wanted to stay home and saran wrap my windows and doors, then maybe I wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was nothing that I could do to keep myself from getting it. And it wasn't anything I had done necessarily to the people that were no longer in the house. It was just unfortunate. I got it. They don't want to be sick, so they stay away. And that's kind of how the world worked for 2 years. Well, then leprosy is even different. More so as in you're basically banished. Like you're unclean. You're basically nothing. Mothers, you know, never seeing their sons again. Sons never seeing their mothers again. I mean, it was hardcore. Like if I called my mother when I was sick and had the vid and begged her to bring me something, she would do it. Like, yeah, she might get sick, but leprosy is like you're basically banished. Not because you're a bad person, not because of anything you could have done, but you're infected. You're unclean. And so you have Jesus coming down from the mountain and crowds of people following him. And if you've seen the Chosen, it depicts this really, really cool. But this guy comes up to him.
Bless you, my child.
I don't know what's wrong with me. And says, and this is interesting, the way the ESV, which is the same way the Chosen, which Chosen's not the Bible. It's just a cool visual aid, I guess. But it says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Not can you, not will you, not maybe. It's if you're willing, I know you can do it. That's the faith that this man had. I've heard about you. I've seen you. If you will, I know you can. And then Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, COVID didn't show. Obviously, it was damaging to your lungs. If it got bad enough and you got an x-ray, you'd be able to tell. But like, physically,
it's like old times.
Physically, it wouldn't, you know, show. You could walk out in public and with the mask on and nobody would know. And but leprosy, you knew. You had boils and rashes and bleeding, and it was rough. And immediately, that's what's neat, immediately, he's clean. And Jesus said, and this is the part that I don't want to stick on the rest, I want you to listen to this, but see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. So, why is it? What do you think this guy wants to do? First place I've been going is to my mom, to my dad, to my friends, to my family, saying, hey, we can be friends again. We can chill together again. I'm not sick. But he says, go and show yourself. And it's unique because he wants to send a living, breathing example of what Jesus has done. And that to me is what a witness is. You know, if I say, Jackson, I'm going to give you $1 million, his hopes may be up, but if I never do that, then nothing happened. So he could have said all day that Jesus healed me, Jesus healed me, Jesus did this. But Jesus said, don't say anything. Just go show yourself to him. Go and be that living, breathing proof that Jesus changed something in your life. And that's what a witness is. Now, we can't be physically healed, you know, from our diseases, maybe if it's God's will, but it's not going to be through a miraculous, you're going to wake up one day and the boils are going to be gone. Not like this. But Jesus is saying, don't just tell people about me. Yes, that's a part of it. Tell them. But show them. And this is something that's, it's always been like, I guess the last 4 or 5 years, like it's, I'm sure Jackson's tired of me, you know, hearing or talking about it, but it goes hand in hand with being willing to be vulnerable to people. And if you're willing to share Jesus with them or you're willing to talk to them about it, tell them the trenches that it pulled you out of. There's nothing wrong with saying I made a mistake, but you can be a living, breathing testimony to somebody else and not just saying it, not just talking about it, not just showing them the Bible and saying, read this. That's a big deal. That's all really important. But tell them how Jesus actually changed something for you. And that's what he's telling this guy. He's saying, no one's going to believe this, so go and show them. And that's the power of the gospel. You hear about Jesus's love, grace, and mercy, and unfailable love, and you tell somebody that, and they can't comprehend it because it sounds too good to be true. But Jesus is saying, show them. Show them in your life what I have done to you. And that's just an extra tool in our tool chest to bring somebody to Christ. So, and like I said, if you want to be a closet Christian and you don't want to tell anybody, that's not how I roll. But
I don't think you're being a Christian then.
But you have to want to share it. You have to be willing to put yourself out there and say, hey, you know what? I would love to study with you. I would love to see, you know, show you things, let you, you know, talk about Jesus and all these things. And a lot of people are probably going to be like, nah. But if you have a relationship with somebody and they can see actively in your life that you are a living, breathing testimony for Jesus Christ, it should be almost hard for them not to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many people that I went to high school with that I don't talk to anybody from high school, really. But it was so, it broke my heart, but it was just the truth and it is what it is. But, you know, there were so many people whenever I was actively a minister, I would see people that I hadn't seen in years and I would be like, hey, yeah, I'm a minister at Double Springs Church of Christ. And they would laugh because they thought I was kidding. And I'm like, no, like, I really am. I'm different. I'm changed. Show people that. Be willing to be vulnerable. Be willing to I don't want to say knock yourself down, but show them that you came from a place that you didn't think you could get out of, but through the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, now you're here. And if you can truly show people that it's life-changing, then you're witnessing to them. It's like you, I'm trying to think of what, like, modern day thing where people bought it like crazy. I'm business-minded, so I often think about products and selling and all this stuff. But in Cookeville, I noticed, like, in the last 4 years, all these nutrition places popped up.
Mm.
We had Cookeville Nutrition, R&R Nutrition.
Brick.
Brick. Is it just Brick Nutrition?
I think it's just Brick
Nutrition. There's, like, all these different pop-up places. You never would have seen. I mean, I've never. Smoothie King.
It's like the fad.
Is like, but you hear, and I'm not bad-mouthing any of them, but you hear people talk about these Herbalife loaded teas.
Mm.
Some people swear by them. I think it's just an expensive drink.
Because
I went through them. I'm going to go try that. But everyone was just raving about, oh, it's life-changing. Oh, it's life-changing. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, it's healthy. You can lose weight. You can have more energy. Get a replacement milkshake. I mean, all this stuff. And it was so believable that there are brick and mortar businesses that have been there for over 2.5 years because it's that believable.
Yeah.
So why can't we take the same thing, witness for Jesus, and make it so believable that people can't not want to do it?
Yeah.
Can't not want to be a part of it. And even if you start small. Because, I mean, it's a big deal for someone who doesn't know Jesus at all to make a step.
Mm-hmm.
But make your church family unbelievable. Make your prayer life unbelievable. Make your relationships you form with other Christians unbelievable to where you're just talking about it. Yeah, Friday night we had blah, 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 and I go to church with this guy. Oh, well, and make the other guy be like, I want that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's what a witness is. And Jesus is saying, I want you to show them proof that I can change lives. But that gives us a duty as Christians to, are we living our life like it is a gift every single day? The opportunity that we have to live a life, are we living it in a way that people see it as a blessing, that people see your joy and they want to go, oh my gosh, I can't live without that. What is up with Jackson? Because he's too happy. He's too excited. He's too loving. He's too encouraging.
Something's wrong with that guy.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with him. He just has Jesus.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's what a witness is living, breathing proof of the love of Jesus Christ. Not reading about it on pages, not hearing about it at church, but in your day-to-day life, living, breathing proof and be a walking blessing to where people can't not want what you have.
Yeah.
And you know what? Do I do it? Absolutely not. Sometimes, maybe, but not consistently, not the way that I should.
Yeah.
So, but it's hard. It's harder. I mean, it's harder than you would think, but that's kind of my take.
No,
my,
I thought that was
my New Testament take on a witness.
No, that's fantastic. Actually, I looked it up. The word used there for proof, like all the times is used to, as translated as testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Like ESV is like one of the only ones that is proof. So, but no, I mean, no, I thought that was a great way to end witness in this study of witness. And like, you know, like you said, it's like you being a faithful witness is like, you just, it's the most natural thing in the world to tell people about this. I mean, if you go and read Peter and Paul's letters, every time they do their like introductions, pretty much they say this is in response to witnessing the Lord Jesus. Like they have to go tell you this stuff because of their encounter with Jesus, how it changed their life. So I don't know what you want to do with that for this week, but we hope that you take it throughout.
Be a faithful witness.
Be a faithful witness. And yeah, we're just, we're going to keep going on. The next one is the word gospel, and then we have the word covenant, and that's it. We are done with our word series. It's been a long one, but that's not your fault. It is our fault.
It is definitely.
But, excuse me. But yeah, we hope you have had a great week. Look forward to seeing you in the next episode. So we love you. Jesus loves you.
Drive safe in the rain. Always leave your lights on. Wipers on, lights on. It's a Tennessee law. Bye.